Well, let me talk to you, if I could, just about a few minutes. One of the really, really, really important Bible characters that are out there. Whenever you begin to read about this man, you begin to read about him as Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was a rising young star in the political and religious scene in the day and time of Jesus. He was one of those prodigies, if you would, that it seemed like everything he touched just turned to gold. He had the best mentors, he had the best teachers, he had the best everything going on in his life. And so he was, if you would, just amassing this amazing education. And I'm telling you, Saul of Tarsus was bound for the very top. He was a young man that literally had aspirations to serve at the highest level that he could possibly serve. And I've got to be honest with you, those that were around him felt exactly the same way. As they began to rub up against him, and he began to rub up against them, they realized that there was something very special, something very unique in this young man. Well, you see, Saul of Tarsus was alive whenever Jesus was on the scene. And so there were many times, I'm sure, that Jesus and Saul of Tarsus, their paths would have had to have crossed each other. Saul being one that would have been ministering primarily in Jerusalem and around that surrounding area. But Jesus, we know, spent a lot of time in Jerusalem. We know that perhaps Saul heard the words that Jesus spoke, and perhaps he's seen the miracles that Jesus actually did. But there's one curious thing about Saul of Tarsus, is that whenever it was all said and done and Jesus Christ had been crucified and put in the grave, and we know 3 days later came out of the grave triumphantly. You see, whenever Jesus was put in the grave, I believe Saul of Tarsus was one who kind of, if you would, rubbed his hands together and said, "Good riddance." You see, I think Saul found himself on the opposite side as Jesus was. Now you have to understand, I haven't mentioned this yet, but Saul of Tarsus was a zealous young man, not for political gain, but for religious gain. You see, he had his eyes set on being the high priest. He had his eyes set on being the most zealous of all religious people. And I have to tell you, he had a heart to serve God. But he didn't recognize that Jesus Christ was God. And so he found himself on opposite sides. Saul of Tarsus was present, the very first martyr of the church. You see, Stephen had found himself kind of crosswise with a whole bunch of angry people. He had said some things that just really cut them to the bone. And so in the midst of Stephen's sermon, you see men started picking up stones and they began to stone Stephen to death. And one of the things that Saul of Tarsus served as, he's a young man that kind of stood off to the side, just a little bit into the wings, and yet approvingly, he held the cloaks of those that were throwing the very stones that took Stephen's life. Stephen, you see, was this guy who loved Jesus with all of his heart, his mind, his soul. The very breath of his lungs, he loved Jesus. But Saul gave approval for the stoning of Stephen. As I said, Saul and Jesus found themselves on two different sides. Saul did not believe Jesus was the Son of God. Did not believe all the things that were written in this book about him, you see. And so immediately Saul began to take up the crusade. If it was up to him and him alone, he was going to stamp out all of these Jesus followers, because he believed with everything in his heart that they were wrong, that they were following someone who was blasphemous, that somebody that claimed to be the very Son of God. And Saul began to persecute, and he began to persecute with a zeal and a tenacity not ever seen before. He began to take lives of those individuals that were following hard after Jesus. He began to imprison those that were following hard after Jesus. He began to split up families. He began to do destructive work all over Jerusalem until literally it pushed the church of Jesus Christ underground. In fact, not only did it go underground, but it began to disperse. People were saying, "Listen, man, that's Saul of Tarsus. He's got a bead on every Christian in Jerusalem, and we got to get out of town." So they loaded up all their stuff in their minivan and they moved to Beverly. Oh, no, that's a different story. No, folks, Christians were leaving Jerusalem right and left. Until finally it made it difficult for Saul of Tarsus to persecute Christians. So he goes, if you would, to the higher ups and he says, listen, man, give me a letter because I'm going to follow these guys to the end of the earth. You see, these cockroaches can't get away from me. I'm going to find them. I'm going to root them out. I'm going to imprison them. I'm going to execute them, but I'm going to stamp out this thing called Jesus. And so he got a letter from the Grand Poopah. And he was making his way to Damascus because he said he heard that there was a bunch of Christians that had landed there. And on his way, boy, on his way to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus had an encounter with Jesus himself. Wow. We know this is the Damascus Road experience. You see, Saul literally was engulfed in a bright light from heaven, literally knocked him to the ground. And he heard words coming out of the sky, and they were the words of Jesus Christ himself. And in the midst of Jesus and Paul and Saul's conversation, Saul of Tarsus believed. He believed in the very one that he had been so adamantly and vehemently trying to stamp out. He believed in Jesus Christ. He believed that Jesus was the Son of God. And from that moment on, I have to tell you, with the same zeal and the same tenacity, Saul, now Paul, who wrote almost the entire New Testament, he became a fire-breathing man of God. Literally going to places that nobody else wanted to go and starting churches and fostering congregations. And the gospel message was spread through the Apostle Paul all over the known world. The Apostle Paul became a maniac for Jesus Christ. I mean, the Apostle Paul became a maniac for Jesus Christ. Whew, man. That story really doesn't have anything to do with our message today. I just thought it was a good one. Changing gears just a little bit. Let me just say this. That we're really in a peculiar, very unusual age, if you would, here in the society that you and I are a part of. I believe that we are living in an age, literally, where everybody is looking to their past. So many people are looking to their past. They're examining their past. They're trying to, with their past, explain the problems they're having with their present. Come on. You see, they're looking at their past and they're taking this good hard look backwards and they're saying, you know what? I believe that my past has something to do with the problems that I have today. In fact, some people are looking into their past and taking a big hard long look at their past and they're actually using their past to excuse the behavior that they're having here in the present. You see, they're trying to explain their problems with their past, or they're trying to excuse their behavior with their past. You see, I think that here in our society, we've literally made it a science digging into our past so that we can understand ourselves. I mean, folks, it's customary. If something's just a little bit askew in our lives, people say, well, it's got to be something to do with your past. Come on. Some of you are looking real unfriendly right now. No, we've made this science out of it. Dig into your past so that you'll understand what's going on with you. Folks, I got to tell you something. Only Jesus Christ can heal the past. Only Jesus Christ can get us living in the present and living for the future, the new life that He has called us to. So often what you and I do, you see, is, and please don't misunderstand me. I know that there's exceptions to this, but so many times we emphasize looking backward. Folks, I got to tell you something. Nowhere in this book does Christ Jesus tell us to look backward. Christ Jesus is saying, look forward, look forward, look forward, look forward. Folks, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we are new creatures. The old has passed away. Notice, it's an all-encompassing. It doesn't just say the bad old. It just says the old period has passed away. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that we get a brand new start. Hoo-yah! A brand new start. A whole brand new clean start. And folks, I got to tell you, no scientist, no psychologist, no psychiatrist can do that for anybody. Only Jesus Christ can take you and give you a brand new clean start. And so that brings me to my text this morning, which is Philippians chapter 3. Just a couple of verses there, but man, this couple of verses has got some power packed in it. You know what I'm saying? I mean vitamins and minerals, everything you need to get for a day, a week, a month. This scripture right here is fortified. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do." Folks, let me just tell you, the Apostle Paul is addressing some things that he talked about just prior to verse number 12. And he's saying, folks, I tell you, I don't get it all. I'm not perfect, but I do press on. I want to be what Jesus Christ has laid hold of me to be. He says, folks, I don't consider myself to know a whole lot, paraphrasing what he says. But he says, this one thing, he said, you can count on it. You can take it to the bank. I know what I'm talking about whenever I say what I'm fixing to say. And that brings me to the rest of this verse. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I want to talk about the first part of that. It says, forgetting what is behind. Paul says, this one thing I figured out. This one thing I know. This one thing. I'm telling you what, I've captured it. I know, I know, I know, I know. He says, forget what is behind. So man, the question that immediately just captivates me is this. How does somebody forget the past? Because that's what Paul is talking about here. He's saying forgetting what is behind. Folks, I believe with everything that's in me that it is very, very hard to literally forget. But I will tell you this. I know it's possible through the power of Almighty God. He can do things in our hearts and our minds that is absolutely overwhelming. So I know it's hard to literally forget it, but this is what I can guarantee you. You can learn from your past so as that you are able to move on. The term forget here, as the Apostle Paul used it, means to not regard the past. Not regard it. Don't let it have any bearing. Don't let it have any influence on your present. Come on. Just disregard it. It has no bearing. It has no influence on my present. It has no bearing on my spiritual outlook. It has no bearing on my behavior. Can I tell you what I used to believe? I used to believe, because see, I used to have a really bad temper. I believe that my temper was hereditary. I believe because my dad had a temper, and my dad's dad had a temper, and my dad's mom had a temper, and everybody in my family, as far back as I could look at, had violent tempers. Oh man, family reunions on the Watson side was fun. They used to get in fights. Do you know how fun it is to watch a fight whenever you're a kid? And then go out and pick up all the cool stuff laying on the driveway after they get through fighting. I found a brand new Timex watch. I don't know who it came off of, but it was mine now. I used to believe, because I had so many people in my past, that I had a temper because of them. I'd seen my dad so mad. Oh my goodness gracious, I'd seen him mad. Whew. I can't even tell you how many times I seen my dad just unloose the cork and let it out, if you would. Violent, too. Did things in our home that were just kids shouldn't have to see, but I seen it. And you know what? I caught my own self doing the same things I'd seen my dad do. Come on. The Apostle Paul says to forget it. to not regard the past. Don't let it have any bearing. Don't let it have any influence on our present, our spiritual outlook, our behavior. No way. Just forget about the past. You see, folks, basically what I'm saying is the Apostle Paul takes out of the equation our ability to excuse our actions by blaming them on the past. And everybody said amen. Weakly, but we said it. Very faintly. Folks, we got to understand that so many times when we probe into our past, we try to explain our problems or we try to excuse our behavior. And the Apostle Paul says, listen, man, you got to forget your past. You got to say to your past, listen, I have no regard for my past. It has no bearing on me. It has no influence on me. I don't think it's an issue of memory functions of the brain. You see, what I believe it is, it's an issue of the motivation to go beyond our history and not get stuck in it. It's just saying, man, I don't care how I was raised. I don't care how my parents treated me. I don't care how rough it was in school. I don't care if I was bullied. I don't care if my older brothers were mean to me. I just don't care. I'm going past that. I'm not going to let my past have any bearing. I'm not going to have any priority in my life today. I have to tell this because, you see, back before I was born again, I seen so many things that my dad did. And this is the statement that I made internally inside of myself. I said, whenever I grow up and I have a wife and family, I will never treat them that way, ever. Now, you have to understand, without Jesus Christ, I did not have the power to live up to that. But once I got born again, folks, Jesus began to empower me not to live that kind of life. Are you with me? You see, I could have very easily used the excuse, well, I'm excused from my behavior because of the way I was raised. Come on. I can explain my problems because, you see, I grew up in a home like this. Come on. But the Apostle Paul says, listen, man, forget your past. It's not about a memory. It's about a function of your motivation that says, listen, I will not let my past control who I am today. You see, if we allow our past to control us, our past to control the problems or be an excuse for us, all we do is we get stuck where we're at. We get stuck. You ever been stuck? Getting stuck is so pity. It's terrible to get stuck, especially whenever you got a bad four-wheel drive. You know what I'm saying? Big tires, high ground clearance. I got stuck like that once. It was so embarrassing. Pastor Rick was driving on the exact same road I was, and he had a two-wheel drive GMC long bed pickup that would spin out and get stuck on a banana peel. But he got to town. Seriously. Scared his brother-in-law within, like, his brother-in-law almost had to have the zappers on his chest whenever he got there because Rick was driving 208 miles an hour. It was scary. Has Daryl ever rode with you since then? No, never. I didn't think so. Oh, I got stuck. Now, I have to tell you, he wasn't pulling a horse trailer with, I think, three mules in it. But anyway, I got stuck. It was terrible. I come from a long line of people who got stuck. My grandmother was driving out. Her mom owned a ranch and had a lot of cattle, and she was driving out to this ranch. And my grandmother was a terrible driver, terrible driver. She just wasn't a good driver. And she had a bunch of cattle running down the road in front of her, and she was trying to get through them, and she was trying to, you know, get as close as she could, and these cows just wouldn't get out of the road. And so she was going to like kind of bump one of them, and instead of bumping one of them, she knocked it down. And whenever she knocked it down, instead of stepping on the brake, she accidentally stepped on the accelerator, and she run up on top of this big old cow. The front tires of the car were off the ground and the back tires were spinning, and this big cow was up underneath the car going, bah! She's like a mile from the ranch house, and she gets out of the car and runs all the way to the ranch house. She gets her husband and she says, I've high-centered on a cow. There's a cow under the car. And my granddad goes, nah, I don't think so. So he jumps in his truck. They drive back down there. And sure enough, the cow's still in there. They successfully extracted that cow from out from under that car. And that crazy cow lived. You see, I come from a long line of people who get stuck. And folks, what happens whenever we don't allow our past to become the past is we're going to get stuck. You know, my grandmother, it took her way more time to get home than it should have because she got stuck. She wanted to go to the ranch house, but she got stuck. That day I wanted to be at home long before I ever got at home, but I had to unload the mules, had to take all three of them out there in the pasture, and had my wife holding all three of them out there in this pasture. And I'm telling you, these mules were spooked to begin with. Had to unhook from the trailer. I had to get my truck out. Then I had to pull my trailer out with the chain. Then I had to load the mule. Are you following what I'm saying? This took me like 2 hours to get unstuck. And I want to tell you what I was by the time I got through. I was a mud man. I had mud in my ears, mud everywhere, all over my body. Pastor Rick was home drinking tea. Where's a friend when you need him? You see, whenever you get stuck on your past, what it does is it delays you getting where you need to go. Sometimes you can even get stuck so bad that you'll never be able to achieve what it is that you need to achieve in the kingdom of God. You see, but the whole thing that I want to bring to you this morning is God's Spirit gives us strength. He gives us power to move on no matter what our past is like. And so often, I'll tell you what part of the past we get stuck on. So, folks, I'll tell you, this is kind of like where some of us are today. We're high-centered on a big old cow. That cow's up underneath our car, and that cow's... But that cow, what it is, it's the failures that we have had, the experiences that we have just totally, completely bombed out at. The failures. You see, I want to tell you something. The failures of our life, man, that is like gasoline to the enemy of our soul. He'll bring them to us and he'll say, listen, man, how could you ever go any farther than you are right now? Because look what you've done. Look how many times you've done it. Look what a big failure you are. And all of a sudden we look at our past and we go, man, he's right. I am that person. I am horrible. I'll never be able to go any further than this. And we're just high-centered on that big old cow. But the Holy Spirit gives us strength. He gives us power to move on no matter how big our failures are. Folks, you have to understand that. His love brings healing to our past pains, our past failures, our past experiences. He brings healing to them. Folks, you got to understand, through the love of Jesus Christ, He grants complete and total forgiveness for our past failures. Come on. He grants us complete and total forgiveness for our past failures. But how many of y'all know that Satan's got a good memory? Amen. We take them to Jesus and we say, Jesus, forgive me. I've failed. I've completely and utterly and miserably failed. And you just want to pull your hair out, but you look into the eyes of Jesus and with His compassion and His mercy and His love, He says, man, I forgive you. It's all under the blood. I remove it from you as far as the east is from the west. I forgive you completely, totally. In fact, Jesus goes one step further and He says, I actually forget about your sins. Woo! Man, that's good news. Wake up. That is such good news. I've forgotten about your sins. Folks, I got to tell you, whenever you get a hold of that, that God has forgiven you totally and completely, all the past sins are gone. Folks, right then and there, you can begin to experience that emotional freedom that God wants to bring to you. Because you see, what Satan wants is he wants your emotions all in chains, all in bondage. I want to tell you something. It's so hard to worship. Like what we were in the midst of this morning, it's so hard to worship whenever you hang on to the past. But man, whenever you lay the past down, as the Apostle Paul said, he says, forgetting what is behind. Whenever you lay it down, it gives you freedom to worship. Oh, is it sweet. Bible tells us that Christ, in Him, He gives us the freedom to experience a new life. The old sins, the painful past events, they don't have to rule our present experience here on this earth. See, what He wants in us is He wants spiritual health. He wants emotional health. And what I know about spiritually healthy and emotionally healthy people is this, that they have the ability to move on, to get past being stuck. You see, yeah, we learn from the past. You know, my grandmother, in the whole time I knew her after that, she never ran over another cow. Come on. You see, what happens through Jesus Christ is He makes us healthy on the inside, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, through us being able to move on past those things in our life that so would want to drag us down. We learn from them. We learn from them. I haven't finished reading this. I got to go back to it. This is Philippians 3. And he says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You see that? He says, I forget what's behind me, and then I begin to strain. I begin to press forward to that I want to lay hold of. Folks, I got to tell you, with everything that is in Satan right now, every ounce of his being, every maniacal ounce of his being, he is wanting to hold us back. And he uses this tool, which, folks, I got to tell you something, is so very clever the way he uses it. He tries to pin us down. He tries to get us stuck in our past. He wants us making excuses for our action based on what we've been through. Come on. And please don't misunderstand me. I know a lot of people that have been through a lot of craziness. But it doesn't give any one of us the freedom to live there. Because Christ Jesus says you can go by it. You see, sometimes I believe as a society, we make a living trying to explain our problems, trying to excuse our behavior by looking into the past. And folks, I got to tell you, Jesus Christ says, you don't have to get stuck there anymore. The Apostle Paul says, I press on. Now, I started off telling the story about Saul of Tarsus. And I kind of finished it up by telling you what an unbelievable man of God he became. Folks, I got to tell you, the Apostle Paul was an amazing man of God. I want to tell you, he turned the world upside down for the kingdom of God. He became zealous in a way that zealous is an underestimation of what he did for Jesus Christ. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was almost killed many times, shipwrecked. But it did not change the tenacity by which he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thousands upon thousands of men and women, children, they came to know Jesus Christ as a direct result of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. The Gentile world literally caught on fire with the gospel because the Apostle Paul ministered. But have you ever wondered about just maybe one single time where the Apostle Paul is up preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and he's just going to it, telling folks, man, Jesus is it. Jesus is it. This is the gospel. And he looks into the crowd, and there sits somebody that he literally, with the zeal of the Lord he had executed a father from that family. Because that father, 2 years earlier, had said yes to Jesus. And Saul of Tarsus snuffed his life out. Can you imagine what that must have felt like? I'm telling you, I think this would be a good time that the Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, just lays down the microphone and quits. You know what I'm saying? Just walks off. How can I preach the gospel? I've got this beautiful family here, these two daughters, these three sons, this wife, and I took their father away from them because I was so misguided. I was so wrong. Saul was wrong. Paul was wrong. Man. You see, this is what I believe. I believe that the reach of Saul of Tarsus was so broad, was so expansive, that I believe he had more than one of those encounters as he ministered all over the place. Because see, his very actions had sent Christians all over the map. And now Jesus Christ had called the Apostle Paul to go all over the map. And so you gotta know that there was encounter after encounter after encounter with those individuals that he persecuted, that he imprisoned, and yes, literally, he executed them. You know, whenever the Apostle Paul says, I press on, you know what he's saying there? He's saying, I'm forgetting my failures. You see, I believe one reason why he is so emphatic here. In verse 13, he says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but this one thing I've taken hold of. I've grabbed it with both hands. He said, you've got to forget the past. Because if I don't forget the past, it is going to impede the ministry that Jesus Christ has called me to. I cannot look out in the congregation and see a face of a family that I have persecuted, a family of that I have been imprisoned or that I have executed, and let it affect what God has called me to do. You see, because if he would have been high-centered on one of those big old Black Angus cows. I'm just going to take a shot here. I have an idea that maybe the first couple of encounters that the Apostle Paul had with families that he had so hurt, that he had perhaps destroyed through his actions of ignorance, I have an idea they did take a toll on him. I can imagine, because the Apostle Paul was human, I can imagine that they greatly affected him. Even to the point where it affected the ministry that God had called him to. And I imagine that this was one of those points where he wrestled with God. He said, God, I just can't do this anymore. I cannot see those people that I have so hurt, those people that I have so abused. I can't see them as I'm ministering. God, I got to go somewhere where they're not. Just let me go. And God, nevertheless, just kept him right where he was until finally one day Paul, he gets up and he says, guys, I'm telling you, this is what it's all about. You've got to go past your past. You have got to let the Lord Jesus Christ come and begin to heal what is inside of you so that you're not stuck. You've got to forget the failures of your past life. This I press on that the Apostle Paul uses here, it's kind of a neat term. The Greek word here is taken from this word that was used to describe a hunter or perhaps an athlete. An athlete such as a runner. The word literally means to chase and capture. When it's used in hunting, it means to literally chase down and capture your quarry and never quit until you get a hold of your game. Whenever it's used as a foot runner, it's meant that you run until you capture first place. You push yourself and you ignore everything else except that prize that you are running for. You see, Paul's meaning here, I believe, is very clear. While it would be very easy for him to feel terrible about his past, to remember the people that he had actually killed, the Christians that he had murdered, the families that he had ruined, the lives of the good people that he had so jeopardized. He had put in prison mothers and fathers who their only crime was professing Jesus Christ as Lord. But you see, I think what happened with the Apostle Paul is he came to a place in his life where he said, listen, I don't have the time and I don't have the energy to give to my bad past. I don't think any of you heard that. He said, I don't have the time and I don't have the energy to give to my bad past. You see, the cost of dwelling on it would have absolutely paralyzed his present walk with the Lord. And so to get his message across to us, to get his message across to those who were right there in front of him on how he handles this very dark past of his, he said, I press on. Folks, can I just make sure we all understand this? There's no going back anyway. Come on. There's no going back anyway, so why should any of us waste the time trying to undo what cannot be undone? Come on. I mean, have you ever said anything that you really shouldn't have said, and the moment that it came out of your mouth, you wished you had it back? I've actually tried to catch some of those words before. I've been in my office and said something a couple of times, and I've jumped over the desk trying to get a hold of that word. You can't get them back, can you? If you can't even get one word back, what makes us think that we can get our past back, that we can go back and undo something? We can't. So why waste the time? Why waste the energy? It cannot be undone. So the Apostle Paul goes one step further and he kind of shares this, if you would, this little nugget of wisdom that's helped him make this exceptional progress. He said, forgetting what is behind and straining towards that is ahead. Let me just tell you, folks, I think you and I, all of us, underestimate how precious life is. I really do. I think we get so used to the routine sometimes and we start thinking that we're invincible and you know, we take each other for granted in major league proportion. Come on. But I have to tell you, life is a precious thing, man. Life is so precious. Life is too precious for you and I to get stuck in the past. I want to tell you something. I got two granddaughters that are coming up, and they have no time for grandpa to waste on my past. Come on. They don't deserve that. Come on. They deserve a grandpa that has set his side on the prize, and I'm going after it. I'm pressing on to those things that God has called me to. In Jesus' name. It's too precious. It's too precious to get stuck all the way back there in the past. And so Paul had this huge, painful amount of memories. Murder, punishing innocent people, inflicting pain on good and decent people. But nevertheless, how do you deal with it? You forget it all. Like I said, not in the sense of a total memory loss. You can't go to the doctor and say, Doc, shock me here and here, so I'll forget it all. But you just got to begin to say, listen, man, I'm not going to let my past have any bearing on my present. I'm not going to let my past have any bearing on my future. Just don't regard it. Can I ask y'all a question? Because I'm just curious. How many of you have ever given somebody the cold shoulder? Husbands and wives, now come on. I used to get mad at Renee and you know, we'd have our discussions, our fights. Yeah. We just couldn't use guns. Everything else was legal in our house, but no guns. Oh, man. She is good at giving a cold shoulder, but I actually think I'm better. You know, what happens whenever you're giving somebody the cold shoulder is you come to a place where you don't even regard their presence in the same room with you. You know? Like one day Renee walked in and I was actually flipping through the channels and I actually hit on a dressmaking channel and I went ahead and watched it like I was interested in it. I didn't even know what sewing on the bias meant, but I'm telling you, I watched it. I wouldn't even eat with her. I just said, I'm not hungry. I was, but I just couldn't admit it. In other words, you're giving somebody the cold shoulder. What you do is you just don't give them any attention at all. Some of you are grinning way too much right now. Okay. Some of you right there going, exactly. I know exactly how to do that. Well, I can tell you this. We shouldn't do that to people. Because like I said, life is way too precious. But I can tell you something, you can do it since most of you are pros. Do it to your past. Give your past the cold shoulder. Come on. Don't even acknowledge your past whenever it walks into the room. Even if you're on a dressmaking show. Come on. Just say, I'm interested in this past and don't bother me. I'm not giving you any attention. I'm not going to pay you any regard. The Apostle Paul describes the dynamic of what he does, forgetting and straining. Forgetting and straining. It implies that it isn't always an easy process. Come on. I believe it's going to require repeated efforts, just like in an athletic experience. I don't think you're going to get real good overnight at forgetting your past. Come on. I think you're going to have to give your cold shoulder to the past a whole bunch of times before you really get good at it. One of the things that impeded ministry in me so often was whenever the enemy of my soul came. And in my heart, I knew Jesus Christ had forgiven me. I knew that He had washed my past away. I knew that He had forgiven and forgotten what it was that I had done in my past. But folks, it was so easy to stand and to just be condemned by my past. To stand before a group like this and preach and the enemy of my soul would say, man, you have no business doing that. You're not a man of God. Look at what you've done. Look at what you've said. Look at how heinous your actions were. And time again, I had to pull out the cold shoulder. I had to say, listen, my past has no bearing on me. I forget my past. I press. I strain forward. That's the way I'm going. I'm not going to let my past dictate my today. I'm not going to let my past dictate my future. I had to do it repeated times, over and over. Lots of effort. Lots of persistence. Do y'all know how to be persistent? Well, of course you do. That's how you get things from your spouse. So you have to be persistent. over and over and over again. I will not quit. I will not give up. My past is going to be my past. I'm not going to come dragging it in to my present. Let me just tell you something. It makes absolutely no difference of how I was raised. I have the ability through Jesus Christ to live my life according to this book right here. Come on. Makes no difference. I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. I've seen things that kids should never see. But yet I can be free from that through the power of Jesus Christ that is inside of me. I can tell you this. I have failed more times than I could possibly even tell you in the span of this day that you and I are living in. But I have the ability through Jesus Christ to not let one of those past failures get me stuck where I can't move forward in Jesus' name. Come on. That's better preaching than you guys are acting like. I'm just going to tell you that. It's going to require a lot of effort. It's going to require a lot of persistence. And I'm going to tell you something else. It's going to require wisdom. It's going to require wisdom. I've got to tell you something. Sometimes we're just knuckleheads whenever it comes to our past. Somebody writes a book and you find it at the Christian bookstore. Let me just tell you something. Every book you find at the Christian bookstore is not Christian. Come on. You need to be like a Berean, man. You got to know this word because so much of it is garbly gook. You know what that is? That's one step under Play-Doh. Somebody writes a new book and they say, no. You need to examine your past. You need to find out what it is that ails you. You need to find out why it is you're acting like you're acting because your past. I'm going to tell you something. That's baloney. You need to get free in Jesus' name. You need to come to Him and say, God, I lived a horrible past. I had a bunch of failures. My parents were not what they should have been. I was a knucklehead in school. But in You, I am free because the Son has made me free. We've got to, folks. And whenever you begin to talk like that, that is not the way the world wants you to talk. But it is godly wisdom. Folks, I'm going to just tell you something. If He can create the vast expanse of this universe, He can help me get over my past. Come on. He is an almighty God. So it's going to require a lot of effort, persistence, wisdom. And it may even require a little help from a friend. Come on. You may need to come to somebody and just say, man, I'm going to tell you something. I got this one old cow. I hit that thing almost every night. And I'm just tired of hearing that thing all night going, bah! Say, man, you need to pray with me. And those folks that have been coming to Wednesday night intercessory prayer, they're going to understand what you're asking them. And so they're going to come down and stake themselves to you. Ain't that right, guys? Come on, man. They're going to stake themselves to you and they're going to carry your burden away. Hallelujah. Those folks that have been coming on Wednesday night, they're getting a hold of it in Jesus' name. You see, sometimes we need a little help, but I'll tell you, no matter if it takes a lot of effort, if it takes a lot of repeat effort, if it takes a lot of persistence and wisdom and takes a whole busload of other people, I'm going to tell you this, it is possible. Because there's still times whenever the enemy comes to me and I'm up here. And you need to understand this, folks. I'm nothing. All I am is a ball of clay. And I'm just telling you that Jesus Christ, if there's anything at all you see good in me, it is because of Him. Period. End of discussion. End of story. Because I knew myself prior to meeting Jesus. And I was a slug. If you'd have poured a little salt on me, I'd have just died. Okay? So I want to make sure you understand this. I'm nothing. But I'll tell you this. I can identify with the Apostle Paul. Forget the past. And I strain. I press on to what is in front of me. Because you see, every once in a while, the enemy will still come to him. And he's as dumb as a rock. And in the midst of ministering, he'll say, man, you shouldn't be doing this. You're not a man of God. Look at what you've done. And it's kind of like shooing a fly. You know whenever they get real close to your ear, you go, pfft. Except I don't do it like that. Because you see, I grew up in the mountains. And I grew up shooting things. And I love to shoot things. See, whenever that little fly, he comes and he just starts. Yes, I just play like it's a 12-gauge shotgun full of God's word. And I just let him have it, both barrels, all at once. It kicks like a mule, but it's worth it. See, let me tell you something, Satan. Let me tell you why I can forget my past. And then I just go into these scriptures one after another of what God has said about me, who he says that I am. Come on. And I want to tell you something. That little zzzz, it's just totally overruled by the concussion of that gun. Come on. Some of y'all going, I'm just not a very violent person. We'll get you a fly swatter. I'm okay with that. Get you some bug killer in a can. I don't care. Talk to Mark Albrecht. He'll give you some wasp spray. Pressing on towards. Do you notice he's not saying anything about backwards? He's saying pressing on towards that goal, that mark. Forget the past. Keep moving forward. Press on. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this, I just want to say something that I promise you every person in this room needs to hear. And every one of you really need to take it to heart because it's very important. Everyone has past failures in their life. Everyone. You know, if we were really, really to get honest and just get each and every one of us in this room just to open up what we've kind of hidden from everybody. I have an idea whenever we begin to name our failures. It probably scares some of you half to death. These young kids down here, we'd have to take them out of the room. I'm serious. If we begin to just share with one another all the things that we can stack up and we can number them one through whatever, the past failures in our lives, we've all got them. But this is what I know. If you do not follow this biblical model that the Apostle Paul got a hold of, that literally rescued his life, I'm telling you, it did. He said, guys, I'm telling you, I don't know much, but this one thing I will tell you, I know that I know that I know. You have got to put the past behind you. Because if you dwell on your past, that's where you will be stuck at, right there. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I think we are to learn from our past. Amen. But we are not to live in our past. It's a huge difference. And that call that the apostle gives to everyone in this room, everyone that has come before us and everyone that will come after us, he says, guys, forget what is behind you. And that means to never allow what is behind you to influence your present, to influence your future behavior. See, what we got to let influence us is that prize that I'm going to lay a hold of. And I want you all to look at me and I want you to understand something. There is going to come a time in the life and times of J.D. Watson that he's going to put both hands firmly on that prize. I'm going to lay hold of it. Because I'm going to run this race as to get that prize. I'm not going to stumble around and wade in my past failures and my past experiences that have been so detrimental. I'm going to get past them. And I'm going to lay hold of a prize. I can guarantee you something. Whenever you make it to heaven, you can look me up because I'll be there. Just Google my name. It'll give you the address. I'm going to be living on the outskirts. That's where I want to be. I want this big log home. And I want a jet airplane in my backyard. I've always wanted to fly a jet. And I figured that God's going to let me have one. I'm going to make bombing raids on hell. Try to have one police bomb, one good right there on the old noggin of the guy who's caused me so much pain. Satan himself. Drop it right in his front pocket. I think that'd be good. I'm going to be there. But I will tell you this. There is a multitude of people who are high-centered right now in their past. They struggle with it every day. They just cannot seem to get free of past mistakes. Because that's the way the enemy wants it. Jesus has said, man, you're free. If you're in me, you're free. You're free. You're free. You're free. That's all he's saying. Forget about your past. Don't drag your past back up. You're free in me. And Satan, the whole time, he's saying something opposite of that. He said, man, your past is going to rule you. It's going to determine who you are. It's going to determine who you are as a wife or a husband or a mother or a father. It's going to determine that. But I am walking, living evidence that will tell you it does not have to determine who you are. So I just have a real easy ending to this. Keep focus and run. Come on. Keep focused and run. You see, the reason I said keep focused is because whenever you're running a race, it makes a big difference where you're looking. Can y'all tie it together yet? And if you're looking at the right place while you're running this race, that goal line, you know? That goal line. I believe you can make it in Jesus' name. Forget what is behind. Don't allow it to influence. Don't allow it to have any determination on your present or future behavior. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. And Lord, this is a very simplistic word today, but it is big. The weight and the gravity of this word, Father God, it is so expansive, Lord God, is literally, there are hundreds of millions of people all over this nation, Father God, that struggle with their very identity, Lord God, because so often, Lord God, they have to go to their past so as they can find out who they are. And Father, I tell in Jesus' name, every person who is in this room, your past does not have to determine your future. The type of home that you come out of, the way that you were raised, the dysfunction that you might have been right in the middle of, it does not have to determine your future. And I say to every person in this room as well, your past mistakes, your past failures do not have to determine your present or your future. And I say this morning, if you are high-centered, if you're stuck, as perhaps the Apostle Paul was stuck, I pray over your life right now in Jesus' name. I pray that you will discover how it is that you can be free from your past. How the enemy of your soul no longer holds you in bondage to your past. How that your past no longer determines your actions. How that it has no bearing on your present, has no bearing on your future. How that your past is not even an excuse for you any longer. But you can stand free in Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul says, forget it. Let it go.